Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome back to the Maniacs podcast. Bob Ryan, fresh off his trip to Byron, Maine, ladies and gentlemen. There are two people. Now, there's one other person I know, not from Maine, that actually knows where Byron, Maine is, and that's Bob Ryan. So, Bob, I'm glad you're back. You were in my home country, and I'm glad you had a great vacation.
Did have a great. Everything went great up there, yep.
Good old Rangeley, Maine. Byron, Maine. Terrific. Anyways, we are driven by Bet Online. Continue the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. And also, we are brought by Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens. Feel better, folks. All right, Bob, let's get to it. Rob Williams is hurt. Shocking. Where have we heard this before? He's going to have the knee scoped. It's not catastrophic because he's going to miss the preseason at the beginning of the season. He should be okay. But you just got to wonder. I mean, are we ever going to see this guy have a healthy season?
All we talk about is – not all we talk. One of the number one thing that we talk about and during the season is Rob Williams. He's great when you have him on the floor. You got to keep him on the floor. And keeping him on the floor is really problematic. This was a – I was very upset with this. You know, I thought – you know, that they were, there wasn't, you know, he was going to start the season anyway. Here's the numbers, Gar, on Rob Williams. He's played 4 years in the NBA. In his first season, he played 32 games. Then he played 29 games. Third season, 52. And last year, a career high, 61. He's been available for 174 of a potential 328 games. And you can see the vast difference when he's on the floor. They are a totally different team. I mean, at both ends. Obviously, the defensive end, it's obvious. But his offensive, the lob, he's always a target. He's dangerous. He's a dangerous player against the other team.
And he can run.
And he can run. He's a tremendous athlete. He's the kind of player that we, quote unquote, Boston, has lacked throughout the last 20 years that other teams have gotten those kind of centers. You know, we haven't had that kind of guy. And now we got our own. And when he's out there, this is disappointing. You know, 4 to 6 weeks. Well, the season opener is October 18th. That is 4 weeks plus. That's all. So definitely he's going to miss. He may make it, but I wouldn't count on it.
Well, there's no reason to rush him.
No, they're saying 4 to 6 to make it to 6. But it's just so disappointing. And the fact is that there's no replacement suitable. They'll go small. Al Horford will have to move to the 5, which, you know, against some teams is okay. Some other teams, it isn't. If it matters that much, because we're in an era now where the old nomenclature doesn't matter. It's all about, Brad Stevens told us 2 years ago, it's about bigs, wings, and ball handlers. That's the NBA now. Bigs, wings, and ball handlers. So the old, but still, Al is best suited in as a wing, as a 4. And Luke Kornet, I don't know. They're going to go out and, I don't think they're going to worry about getting somebody if they're going to get them back.
No, I don't think so.
They're going to make do. And if they get the right matchups, you know, they'll keep their head above water. But it's disappointing and it's scary. I mean, when is he ever going to be healthy? I mean, I don't know.
Well, we don't know. And right now he has the label of being injury prone. And fair or unfair, it's accurate. You know, I feel bad labeling players that are injury prone because it's not like they're doing it on purpose.
Oh no, God,
it's just the way it is. Now, to me, Bob, and let's talk about the difference in the Celtics when he's on or off the floor, because to me, I think he's the key to winning a championship. Now, when you talk about not making the deal for Durant and you have Jaylen Brown here, I think this year is going to be more difficult because teams are going to be healthier. We all know it's hard to get back to the finals. We all know it's hard to repeat. When Williams is on the floor, I think this team can beat anybody. I think they can beat anybody because the ball moves, he runs, he's an intimidator, he can block shots. The game changes completely. Oh. I've never seen anything like it, completely. So I think he's that important. So let's break it down. What do you see from the Celtics when he's on the floor?
Well, you know, you see a team that can play a type of defense that knows that it's got help in the back, you know, and for sure. And I'm sure they play with a certain kind of confidence that they don't have when he's not there. And, you know, and as I said, on offense, he's always a threat, a target for that lob. And, you know, he's not a great offensive player, but he's a threat in that regard. And it changes things. And absolutely. No, they're different. You're right. They're very, very different. And a lesser team when he's not there. And
you know, I think pace is a big deal. To me, what I've seen, and maybe it's just in my head because I'm such a Rob Williams fan, to me, they seem a step quicker when he's out there. I don't know why. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Maybe I can't say you're right or you're wrong. At all. That's your observation. That's fine. I just know they're better. I just know. We all know that it's the vast difference when he's there and he's not there. And you know, you can say he's the key. Well, of course, you know, if they were to lose Tatum, that would
Tatum, obviously.
No, I'm saying, but they need all their components. They had it all going. Whatever that moment was in January when they had their come to Jesus moment and they started playing basketball to the point where they were the most successful team in the league from then to the start of the end of the season in terms of wins and losses. They didn't win the championship because they didn't win the final series against the best team in the league. Okay, fine. But no team was more successful overall night in and night out than they were from January on. And he was a major vital part of that. And, you know, so they got to have him. So, I mean, it's not a catastrophe. And if in fact he's back in 6 weeks, and he's healthy, but the thing is, you're always worried about when.
Well, it's always something, though. It's turf toe or this or that. And I mean, nagging injuries. I mean, again, not catastrophic, but something that always takes him out of the mix.
So that's it. So that was the first dose of bad news. You know, well, the second dose, actually. The first dose was Gallinari. Now, we hardly knew yet. We never had yet. And we're, you know, we're all enthused about the possibilities that he brought, you know, and they're no longer there. So that's that. And we're wondering if they were going to go out and find somebody and even floating the name of Carmelo Anthony. But they still haven't definitively said whether they're going to go out and try to get somebody in that regard. But that was the first dose of bad news. And now here's a bigger dose of bad news. So it's unfortunately, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah. Bob, if this guy is healthy for the next 10 years, where does he end up? How do you envision him?
I don't know whether he's going to develop how much of an individual offensive game. Would you ever say, I mean, right now, you're not throwing the ball into him and asking him to score very often.
No.
You know? Then again, the league, the way the game is being played now, there aren't that many bigs that are back to the basket and getting the pass and ask to score. That's just not the way the game's played anymore, much to my regret, of course. He's going to have accumulated experience. He's intelligent, first of all. We know that. And he's going to accumulate experience. He's going to have book on opponents. He's going to have institutional knowledge. There's no reason why. What is he, 24?
He's young.
And so this is the thing. As a group, you know, all the key players are still – you know, well, 27 and under, I think that's what's Smart is now. But my God, you know, they're still, well, probably the peak of Smart's career, but the others are still have possibilities of getting better, and they should get better. So, yeah, they were in good shape in that regard, if they stay in this uniform, because we all know that it's a volatile world with regard to comings and goings, and much different than it was in the old days. And, you know, you can't project 5 years of who's going to be in uniform, you know, when free agencies come up and things happen, and or guys started rallying their sabers, you know, now guys can, you know, which we see, you know, how many, I don't know if we're going to have an endless succession of Hardens and Durants and Irvings and people that are, you know, able to try to get their way in and out of places. But, you know, in a sense, we've seen a little bit of it. Donovan Mitchell made himself kind of a poison pill in Utah. And so that's the way of the world. But so you can't project too far down the road. It's wise as a fan to keep your sights in the present, you know, and enjoy what you got when you got it.
A fan of the show and a big fan of Bob Ryan, nice guy, Alejandro, approached me the other day, and he watches the podcast, listens to the podcast, watches the Zoom.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Boogie Cousins, your thoughts on that? Because they say this guy's is in incredible shape now and that he's not going to be on the market long.
You know, there was a time somewhere along the way when I flipped, not flipped, but I began to give him more the benefit of the doubt. And I remember saying a couple of years ago, I'd go pick him up at the airport. I'd take a shot.
I would.
And but there was a time when you never think about that. But I would think about that. I think he's at the point where if he's got something left, he's older than you think, you know, I mean, people forget how long, you know, he was the same draft as John Wall, I believe. And they were,
oh, he's been around.
Yeah. But I wouldn't mind kicking those tires, frankly. No, I wouldn't mind at all.
Yeah. I'd definitely take a look at it. Okay. We'll continue in a moment. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even this season's NFL odds. Check out and see how your team's doing. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and, of course, your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. Really easy to get started. Go to the website today or use your mobile device. And when you sign up, use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, guys. Bob, you reminded me that 50 years ago, perhaps it's the greatest Celtic team ever. I don't know. 72, 73?
The best team that didn't win in Celtic history, the 72-73 Celtics, and remain, in my mind, among the top maybe three teams in the history of the franchise.
And because Hondo got hurt, right?
Well, and John Havlicek got hurt in game three of the Eastern Conference Finals. But what happened is that here's a team was on the move. After Russell retired, the first year was obviously a shaky transition year with a new coach and adjusting to life without Bill Russell and Sam Jones. And they won, and were led by John Havlicek, still at the peak of his career, led the team in scoring, rebounds, and assists, by the way, in the 69-70 season. Then comes Dave Cowens, and that was the beginning of the turnaround. They draft Cowens in 70. They win 44 games. They do not make it back to the playoffs. Then in 71-72, they win 56 games. They make it to the playoffs. They're beaten by the Knicks in five, humbled a little bit. The guy they can't handle is Dave the Busher. He's killing them. Satch is at the end of his career, and they don't have a power forward. And here comes Paul Silas. Right. And how they got Paul Silas, of course, was part of the Auerbach savvy back in the 70 draft when the ABA was still flourishing. The Celtics in the seventh round took Charlie Scott from the University of North Carolina, even though he had already signed a contract to play in the ABA, just to have his rights. Well, guess what? At the end of the 71-72 season, near the end, Charlie Scott jumps back to the NBA. Charlie Scott jumps right from the Virginia Squires, and the Phoenix Suns are making a goo-goo eyes at Charlie Scott. They want Charlie Scott. Well, guess who has the rights to Charlie Scott? Arnold Red Auerbach. And guess what Phoenix has that Boston can use? Well, they have a 6'7" power forward, 29 years old, named Paul Silas, who was just coming off his career year, having lost 30 or 35 pounds from the year before, and transforming himself from a big, bulking, thuggy kind of guy to a guy who could actually get up and down the floor and still maintain his other skills. He's the missing link. And he and Cowan hit it off beautifully. And that team goes off. They win their first 10 games. And off and running, they win 68 games. It was a magnificent season. They ran. Oh my God! Collins is on his way to be an MVP. It's an idyllic season, and it was a fun year. But I can't believe I just had reminded myself this week. Oh my God! It's 50 years from that team. But that team should be remembered. And of course, what happened was they got in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks. And in game three, John Havlicek gets caught in a pick between the Busher and Bill Bradley, and it hurts his right shoulder.
Ooh.
And they go to New York for game four. It is one of the most interesting, famous games in the history of their playoff history. They are beating the Knicks by 16 points entering the fourth quarter without Havlicek. And the Knicks make a big, 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 big comeback, thoroughly aided and abetted by the officials, Jack Madden and Jake O'Donnell. And it was the most criminal, ridiculous sixth and seventh man thing that you could ever see. Not just my opinion. Jack Kaiser of the Philadelphia Daily News labeled this game, quote, the rape of Madison Square. And so he was sticking up for the Celtics. They lose in overtime, double overtime, and game four, and go down 3-1. Game five is in Boston. Havlicek is going to play now. With one arm. He's playing left-handed for the most part. He scores 18 points, and they win the game. Silas has a big rebound game. And then they go to New York, and they win game six, and they come back. And Havlicek is lesser. He's not doing so well. But they pull it out, come home. They had never lost a seventh game at that point in their history. And we were all brimming with confidence. Well, Havlicek comes off the bench. And as soon as he comes in the game, they swarm all over him. They attack him. They're not going to let John Havlicek beat him with one arm. And he starts turning it over. And you know what? The career game, and any Knick fan who will know, verify this, Dean Memminger.
Who?
Dean the Dream Memminger had a career game that Sunday afternoon in Boston. The Knicks win the game and go on and beat the Lakers and win the championship. Now, the thing about this that it was doubly frustrating for Heinsohn and the Celtics was that had they beaten the Knicks, they swept the Lakers in the regular season. They destroyed them. Cowens averaged 31 points and 19 rebounds a game against the Lakers. Wilt was in his final year, Chamberlain, and he had lost all lateral mobility. And Cowens just ran by him and around him. And, you know, he couldn't go out and guard him because Dave could shoot from the outside too. You know, that's one thing great about Dave was he could play inside or outside.
Yeah.
And he destroyed Wilt and that. They would have beaten him. They would have won that championship. But that's the great what if Havlicek's shoulder, you know, when it was, doesn't get hurt and they don't get hurt. But that team, I'm telling you, want to see a team run? Oh my God, could they run?
What I remember about Silas is, I think in 1975, didn't he lead the league in offensive rebounding?
Well, I'm sure he was the premier offensive rebounder in the NBA in those years, and he was a master of offensive rebounding. And he was an all defensive type league player. He had sneaky little offense. I used to, you know, he had nice little inside moves, and he had a little tippy toe set shot that he could make at times. You know, I mean, one time I used to kid him about it, and I think he made like seven in a row in one stretch. You know, his little tippy toe the jump shot, but Paul Silas was much more than just a player. he was the, I call him the conscience of that team. He is a man's man type guy of a locker room, thorough presence. One of my all time favorite people. I became very friendly with Paul Silas, personal friend. It was a privilege to know him. And, you know, he wound up playing in two, his 4 years with the Celtics. They won two championships and they won 60 games in 1974-75 and 56 in 1975-76 when they won a championship. He was absolutely, you know, a critical part of that era.
And another limb of the Red Auerbach coaching tree.
Yes, right. One of the many coaches and that have come out of Red Auerbach, absolutely. And you know, but one of them is it didn't end the way it should have ended here. They didn't want to pay him what he wanted, and after 75-76, and he wound up getting traded to Denver, and of course that's how we got Rowe. That's how we got Wicks and Rowe.
We forget about those years. We don't remember.
It's a whole other era. And of course, that led to Cowens doing his famous sabbatical.
Yeah.
So distraught, losing count, and it just wasn't ready to court. Not ready to play, and all that. But anyway, 50 years. I mean, it's sobering for me to think about that. But it was a pure joy covering that team and watching.
Charlie Scott ended up back with the Celtics for Paul Westphal.
That's exactly right. So he became a Celtic and you know, got a ring in 1976. And the thing that I always remember about Charlie, he came up big in all, there were all three six-game series they won. And in each of the six games, Charlie had a big game. Charlie had a big six game. And here's the story behind the story on the game six in the finals. Game five was the famous triple overtime game.
Sure. Garhert.
You know, historic game, one of the great games in NBA history. And Charlie had fouled out in very minimal minutes. Of, you know, like 25 or so, you know, he fouled out. He was terrible. And after the game, Red told him, go get your rest. You're going to be important on Sunday. Remember that game was on Friday night.
Yeah.
The turnaround Sunday was like 12 noon Phoenix time, you know, or on Sunday. He said, you're going to be important on Sunday. You get your, you know, you we're going to count on you. And Charlie came up big, like 25 points in that six game. So he served his purpose here.
Okay, another Bill Russell moment as they continue to celebrate his life. Your thoughts when you heard that number six was going to be put on the floor?
Well, I mean, I knew they were going to do something. And first of all, opening night's going to be a ceremony of some sort. And they said that they were going to be honoring him in some way or fashion continually throughout the year. Well, they're going to put number six on the foul lane in Boston. That's cool. Let me say, nobody's ever done anything like that that I know of. And that's really cool. This is all, you know, belated. Now it's posthumous, but it's all, you know, try to make up something that can never be fully redressed is how Boston didn't officially appreciate him enough in his tenure.
What I think is amazing about, look, we all know about his career on the floor and how he was the consummate teammate, terrific coach, very bright, knew the game. Sacrificed individual statistics for the greater good, and they won 11 championships. But what I think is the impact he had on the players today, when he started to become more visible, because, Bob, we've talked about it before. You know, we had the event at the Garden. He did it for his daughter and her charitable organization. Right. They officially retired the number.
Right.
And you want to talk about a who's who. I mean, we were both there. I mean, a who's who was at that. My God. Everybody and anybody who, I mean, NBA royalty and, you know, showed up for that.
Sure.
But the way that he impacted the players later, when you would see him on the sideline at these games and LeBron would talk to him and different plays, Steph would talk to him. And, you know, he really became a mentor.
Yep.
to today's NBA player, which I always found very impressive because I think there was a feeling, I don't know if I want to use the word recluse. Recluse might not be the right word, but I mean, you know, Russ could turn it on when he wanted to. We talked about that. But the fact that he was very public later in life I think meant a lot to this league and to the players.
I think that's a very good point. And someone was quoted on, you know, in the time immediate aftermath of his death, as saying the cool thing is getting the Bill Russell Trophy presented to you by Bill Russell in the finals.
Sure.
You know? Maybe it was LeBron. Someone said that, you know, and you're right. I'm glad that there's an appreciation that has, you know, that has now been instilled on the modern generation to understand how incredibly important, you know, and just noble. And I mean, the completely great Bill Russell was in the league. And so while, you know, you've got the J.J. Reddicks talking about the league, the playing against plumbers and firemen, you know, where these guys are getting this, sent the real scoop on what it was like.
Sure. I mean,
look, I can't help taking a cheap shot at JJ.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Maybe another year or two, I'll stop doing it.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just,
I'll ridiculous. Find a way to get it in most of the time.
Yeah. But
but you make a great point, and I'm happy about that. And you're right about his personality. I was witness to this. I had a little acquaintanceship with him, and nobody could turn on the charm better than Bill Russell.
And
he could turn it on, it's like a faucet. You know, nobody could be more chilling with a stare than Bill Russell either.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, but he's a complex human being. I quoted the great quote that you hang your hat on with him about how he ran his life and his daily life. And it says, my citizenship is not a gift, it's a birthwright. And that's the way that was the approach that he took to every day in his life. You know, I don't have to I shouldn't be asking you for anything in terms of my citizenship and my rights and where I can go and what I can do and who I can, you know. Well, I never heard anybody else that summed up the concept of you know, human dignity and then better than that. You know, that was Bill Russell.
This episode of the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. As the sun comes out and small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview fast and free. What I love most about LinkedIn is their range. Create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. That's linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And you know how I feel. I think six should just be retired permanently. I don't think anybody.
Well, I've been waiting for LeBron to do the right thing, you know, and he's the one, you know.
He's right the now. One.
There's and a handful of them. But I'm waiting for LeBron to do the right thing. I'm hoping that he will, and that would really be cool. And if he can't, he couldn't understand, it would, you know, would elevate him in people's eyes. You know?
Oh, it would. It's the right thing to do. I hope he does do it.
By the way, have you read it yet? I haven't read it yet, but I'm curious. The Sports Illustrated story that's out about LeBron and Bronny and his two boys and the whole idea, you know, about him wanting to play with LeBron.
I have not seen it.
Well, I got to read it too, but I did see the quote. He's doubling. He's not doubling down. He's tripling down. About this is something he really wants to do, and he's saying, "I don't care. I don't give a you know what anybody thinks about this idea." You know, so it's going to be interesting. And the thing is, it's not whether he can hang on; it's whether the kid is good enough. You know.
Well, I mean, listen. I try to refrain from second guessing other parents. You know, I really do. Like, we hear parents talk about this and you should do this with that, your kid, blah, 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 blah. The only thing I will say is, and I saw it somewhere with Doc and his kid, it puts a lot of pressure on the kid. It puts a ton of pressure on the kid.
It does. And, you know, I mean, and apparently, and I'll know our friend, Jeff, our partner, colleague, Jeff says the kid's, you know, seems like a good kid. You know, he's handled this as well as you could possibly.
And he's,
you know,
a good player. He's a good, player.
He's a top 50, top 40, 45, 50, apparently, player.
Right.
And, you know, well, that's tremendous. I mean, but it does. But that's a long way from being a top 10 or being a year away from the NBA or 2 years away from the NBA, you know, so. I, you're right. This is unfair to the kid, and I wish LeBron would understand that. But oh well,
you know.
He's doubling down. It is, and it's, you know, it's a wonderful concept. Obviously, if you can pull it off, ask the Griffies. They know what it feels like, you know. Oh,
sure.
And who else? Oh, Tim Raines. He got to do it too.
Right.
And of course, the Howls are the all-time champion because.
Oh right. Yeah.
That was. You know, I mean, in terms of, you know, the house.
Well, I mean, the house almost became like they were kind of like a traveling circus.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, hey, yeah. Come see the, you know, the old man and the two kids. Da 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 da. You know,
but
Gordy's like 60 years old playing for the Houston Arrows, you know.
I know it. But, you know, what the Griffies did, hitting home runs, you know, back to back is just.
Oh, what's better than that? You know,
top that. But anyway, I'm just recommending, you know, pick it up and read it.
All right, Bob, as we wrap it up, Draymond Green has called up the owners and he wants them to take a vote about kicking out Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who's been suspended for verbal abuse in the office, racial remarks, sexist remarks. But just being basically a real asshole, and he wants the owners to take a vote. Is there enough pressure, or can the players put on enough pressure that the owners will do this?
I'm borrowing this. I'm not going to claim this is an original thought. I'm going to give full credit, you know, here. When I was watching PTI last week, and Michael Wilbon made it adamant, his opinion was that the only way that you're going to get them out is if there is a massive player. Players are the only avenue. Right. It won't be the owners taking the initiative themselves. Now, remember, how a guy gets into the league is you have to be approved by the other owners. That's right. The way. So now the reverse, we've never had happen where they voted someone off the island. You know, I mean, Adam Silver was able to get rid of Sterling, but they had evidence that, you know, of course they had video and they had audio evidence and it was odious. That's the only way. I doubt it'll ever happen. I don't now, unless maybe Sarver will come around. But what am I thought? Just if I said a player is going to come out and take a firm stand in this regard, how many guesses would you have needed before you would have arrived at Draymond Green?
Oh sure, well right.
I mean this is so. Yeah. I mean that's just so classically, you know. And by the way, I agree with him. You know,
of course. I mean, the guy should not be he should not be an owner in the league. It's a point well taken. But I will, and again, this is not an original thought coming from me either, but I believe I heard it. We discussed it a lot during the NFL. You know, owners have skeletons in the closet too.
Yeah, that's
right. So why this guy, Sarver, he's obviously not shy, and he is who he is to a fault. But other owners are going to say, well, wait a minute here. I don't want somebody digging into my past coming after me.
That's an assumption I think we're fair in making, that there has to, the odds are that there's plenty of a certain percentage of the owners, that's their that would be their stance. Oh, my God, I don't want to open this can of worms. No, I don't want to deal with
it. Right, and another thing is sometimes owners, you know, your former colleague Ron Borges often quoted Tech Schramm. You know, owners are the ranchers, players are the cattle. That's the way he referred to football players. That was like the mentality of the 70s.
Well, where did the quote come up during one of the negotiations of sport in our recent times about the inmates running the asylum thing? You know, that classic. Someone made that analogy. And, they're the billionaires.
The owner's going to say, wait a minute. We're the owners. You know, some guys will say, I mean, this guy shouldn't be in the league. I mean, he just should not be in the league.
Meanwhile,
they're going to go, the player, look, you guys aren't owners. You know, we run the ship. And that's the way some guys will.
And meanwhile, the NFL's got their own loose end that's been dangling out there for a few years now, you know, in our nation's capital. They can't resolve. They haven't been able to resolve. This is unfortunate, but I think the answer to your question is the only possible way to embarrass him enough is if there's a massive player revolt. So
we'll see. All right, Robert, anything else on your mind, kid?
No, I don't think so. I'm just, I'm still a little bit upset, not upset, but, you know, disappointed to hear about Robert Williams. Other than that, no, I'm fine. And, you know,
well, I'm looking forward.
I'm going to, you know, tonight, as we speak, it's Wednesday, the 21st, and I'm going to go to the garden tonight for the ABCD Hoop Dreams.
Oh,
which,
good.
Which was an idea that came out of the fertile mind of Mr. Glenn Doc Rivers back in 2011. And this is our annual affair, the fundraiser for ABCD. Brad Stevens will be joining me there. And these lucky guys and girls will be playing for their company teams in the fun little, you know, round robin tournament at the garden tonight. So, and if you've got a friend, somebody on that you want to come cheer for, come on out.
Or support ABCD if you're looking at this podcast or listening to this podcast or Zoom later on. Bob, I will just wrap up by saying this. Before you know it, basketballs will be flying. There will be training camps will be opening. And when we discussed doing this podcast in the summer, I think the idea is, what will we talk about? We didn't have a problem.
No. You know why? Because it's true. All sports, there's only two seasons. You're playing games or you're not playing games. And when you're not playing games, there has become as much conversation that we can have as when you're playing games. There's no such thing as off season.
And that's
a fact. It's just you're not playing games, but there's still always something to talk about.
But if you're
by the way, that's congratulations to Spain for winning the Eurobasket and Willie, we hardly know you, Hernan Gomez being the MVP.
Okay. Only knowledge that can be dropped by Bob Ryan. And yes, the 12-month season now, it sucks for sports, right? It sucks for the beat guy.
Yeah, I never had to live through that one.
You did not.
I used to take vacation.
All right, Bob. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
And okay,
we'll bring him back.